Philippians chapter 2. Continue to look and study this man, Epaphroditus, and his ministry. And our text for today is at verse 28. Verse 28, Philippians 2, Paul says, I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Epaphroditus meant a great deal to the Apostle Paul. We know that when it came to near the close of Paul's life and ministry, he didn't have very many friends. There were not too many who stood by him. You've only to read the last chapter of his second letter to Timothy to know that. But one who was faithful unto Paul to the very end was Epaphroditus. As well as being a dear friend, Paul described him in verse 25 as my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier and your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. As we've already pointed out, Paul gave five titles to Epaphroditus, called him brother, companion in labor, fellow soldier, messenger, and minister. And when you look at those words in verse 25, you see that here we have a man, Epaphroditus, who could easily have said with the Apostle Paul, for to me to live is Christ. Because without a doubt that's how Epaphroditus lived. He could say, for to me to live is Christ. And again, looking at the words of verse 25, you get the impression that this man, Epaphroditus, who sought to do so much for the Lord, could not do enough for him. That his life was so full of labor for the Lord that there was very little more he could squeeze into his life. He was not only Paul's brother, he was his companion in labor. And you read the Acts of the Apostles and the epistles of Paul just to see how busy the great apostle was. And there was Epaphroditus, his companion in labor. Everything that Paul did, Epaphroditus was there with him. He was also a soldier. Paul had been engaged in many battles, and standing by his side was Epaphroditus, his fellow soldier. And he was the messenger of the church at Philippi, taking gifts to the imprisoned Paul. He was prepared to go on that long, hazardous journey from Philippi to Rome, simply to deliver their gifts unto the apostle. And while he was there, he was a minister, a laborer, a soldier, a messenger, and a minister. What more could he do? Have we ever asked ourselves that question? What more can I do for the Lord? How many more hours can I give to the service of the Master? Can I say with Paul, or indeed with Epaphroditus, for to me to live is Christ? And the mission in March there in Makrefeld. There was a man stayed behind one night and come into the minister's room in tears. I had preached that morning on that very text, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And this man came in tears. And he said the word had spoken to him that morning. And he says, I looked at my life and I realized that I could not say that. I could not say, for to me to live is Christ. And he says, neither could I say, to die is gain. Said he'd been a backslider for years. And God had spoken to his heart that morning. And he wanted in the future to be able to say, for to me to live is Christ. Believer, is there anything more that we can do for the Lord? Or are we doing anything for the Lord? Epaphroditus had spent some time in Rome ministering unto the apostle. But now it is time for Epaphroditus to make his way back to Philippi and to the people there. And Paul makes it clear that he expects the church at Philippi to receive him with gladness, to receive him with rejoicing, to receive him well, to give him a good welcome. He expected the church to give him a warm Christian welcome. Just as soldiers are welcomed home from war. After all, Epaphroditus was a soldier. He was a soldier of the Lord's. You look there at the five titles given to Epaphroditus in verse 25. Notice the central one. Notice what is central. Fellow soldier. And so we have every right, I believe, to say that the church was to welcome home Epaphroditus as we today ought to welcome home our soldiers from the field of battle. We ought to welcome them home from Iraq, Afghanistan, or wherever they have been on the field of battle. And so it was with the church at Philippi. They were to welcome home their soldier, their fellow soldier, Epaphroditus. I could call my message this morning, give it the title, Welcome Home, Soldier. Because that's what the church, what Paul expected the church at Philippi to do. To give this soldier a good welcome home. First of all, I want you to notice that very thing, this soldier's homecoming. Having spent some time in ministering to the imprisoned Paul in Rome, Epaphroditus is returning home. Home to his people. Here then is his return. His return from the field of service. His return, if you like, from the war zone. As a soldier of Jesus Christ, Epaphroditus' tour of duty at Rome had come to an end. It was time for him to be reunited with the church at Philippi, with those who had missed him, And of course, Epaphroditus, as we saw last week, missed them. They missed one another. There was a great bond of love between Epaphroditus and the people at Philippi. I want you to notice he was sent home. Paul sent Epaphroditus home. In verse 25, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Verse 28, I sent him, therefore, the more carefully. So twice over, Paul speaks here about sending Epaphroditus home. What does this tell us about this man? It tells us surely about the loyalty of Epaphroditus. He was loyal to the cause of Christ. He was loyal to the work of the Lord. He wasn't discharged in disgrace. Paul didn't send him home because of some wrongdoing. Neither did he desert the cause. He didn't run away. He's there with Paul in the forefront of the battle at Rome. He's his fellow soldier. He's behaving as a soldier. He's fighting as a soldier. He's standing firm as a soldier. He didn't desert the cause. He didn't go home as a deserter. He wasn't like one that Paul spoke about in 2 Timothy 4 in verse 10. Demas hath forsaken me. Now Demas is mentioned in Paul's writings before 2 Timothy 4. He's mentioned on two occasions as being one of Paul's fellow laborers, fellow soldiers, if you like. But now Paul says, Demas hath forsaken me. The word means abandoned. Demas hath abandoned me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Demas was a deserter. The rascal that he was a deserter. He was a coward. He deserted the cause of Jesus Christ. He fraternized with the enemy. He should have stood against the enemy. Should have been fighting the enemy. Instead, he befriended the enemy. There is no victory in compromise when you're fighting an enemy. There is only victory when the enemy is defeated. But here we find Demas deserted the cause of Christ. He wasn't a good soldier of Jesus Christ, as Timothy was, and indeed as Epaphroditus was. Turn to 2 Timothy, please, in chapter 2. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. See, believer, we're all soldiers in the Lord's army. We're not pacifists. We can't take up the position of pacifists. We have enlisted in the Lord's army. We're soldiers of the cross. And Paul, as he told Timothy, would exhort us today through this word, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 4. No man that warreth, soldiers are called upon to engage in war. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. That's what Demas did. Demas entangled himself again with the affairs of this life, having loved this present world. And the lover of the world is the enemy of God. You can't be a good soldier of Jesus Christ and be a good warrior for the cause of Christ if you're going to be in love with the enemy. And the world is the enemy. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We are to please the Lord. The Lord is the one who has chosen us. He has chosen us unto salvation. Chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And in choosing us unto salvation, he chose us at the same time to be soldiers. We're to be soldiers of the cross. And we are to be loyal soldiers. We're not to desert the cause of Christ. Epaphroditus was returning home as a loyal soldier, loyal to the captain of his salvation. There he stayed. He stayed with Paul through great times of trial, times of sickness, times of deep depression, times of homesickness. But he stayed until Paul sent him home. How many are there today that have deserted the cause of Christ? How many have laid down the blood-stained banner of the cross and run away from the fight? They can no longer, with heart, with hand on heart, say, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Because they have deserted the cause. Men that used to occupy pulpits and used to take their stand for the Lord, over the years have compromised. And now they're ashamed of the gospel of Christ. They're no longer found in the forefront of the battle. There's more than one Demas. There are thousands of Demases who have turned deserter. But when we bring it home on a more personal level, are we good soldiers of Jesus Christ? Have we deserted the cause? Are we still taking our stand for the Lord? Are we being carried to the skies on a flowery bed of ease, while others fight to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Such a man was Epaphroditus. He was loyal. If the loyalty of Epaphroditus, the fact that Paul sent him home, he wouldn't have gone home on his own accord. He had to be sent, forced to go home. Not only speaks to me of his loyalty, speaks to me of his love. It was a great bond of love and fellowship that existed between Paul and Epaphroditus. That I believe is proven by his willingness to stay there with Paul and minister to his needs and his wants while Paul was in prison. He had been sent there, as we have said, bearing the gift that the congregation had taken up for him. There was nobody else to go. Epaphroditus said, "I'll go." Now, he didn't just take that gift to Paul and leave it at the prison and go back home again. He stayed. He stayed with Paul and he ministered to this prisoner of the Lord. He could see that Paul needed him. And Paul said in that verse 25 that he ministered to his wants. Epaphroditus stayed there because of his loyalty to the cause of Christ, because of his love for Paul. Epaphroditus, in many ways, was like another one of Paul's dearest friends, Onesiphorus. 2 Timothy 1, verse 16. With reference to Onesiphorus, Paul said, "For he oft refreshed me." It's good to meet people like that, isn't it? Who will refresh you spiritually. You'll enjoy speaking with them. You'll enjoy their fellowship. You'll enjoy talking with them. And when you've left them, you've been refreshed. Onesiphorus refreshed Paul. He oft refreshed me. He often refreshed me. And he was not ashamed of my chain. He wasn't ashamed of me because I was a prisoner. Many were. Many were ashamed of Paul because he'd become a prisoner. Because they'd locked him up. Because they had put him away and bound him in chains. They were ashamed of him. They didn't want to be associated with a prisoner. Onesiphorus wasn't ashamed of Paul. Neither was Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus stayed with Paul in the prison and ministered to him. Why? Because of his love for the Lord, first of all. Because of his love for Paul. That's why Paul said, "He's my brother. He's my brother. We love each other." And Epaphroditus loved Paul. Good to have friends like that, isn't it? Epaphroditus was no fair weather friend to Paul. He was a friend of Paul's before he was imprisoned. He became a closer friend while he was in prison. It's all right being friends with people when everything's going well. It's a different thing when things are going against that individual. Epaphroditus was no fair weather friend. He was like the one that Solomon spoke about in Proverbs 17 and verse 17. A friend loveth at all times. That's true friendship. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother. Now you nearly think the words had been written specifically to describe Epaphroditus. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Epaphroditus, Paul was glad to call him my brother. He was born for adversity. My, Paul could say that. As brother of mine, he was born for adversity. He's a friend that loveth at all times. It's good to have friends upon whom we can depend at all times. As well as his return, I want us to consider, secondly, the reason. I supposed it necessary to send Epaphroditus on to you. In verse 28, I sent him, therefore, the more carefully. The reason. What was the reason? Paul had considered this matter, the situation of Epaphroditus, and decided to send this soldier home. We might wonder why. I believe the answer is in verse 26. We noted, looked at those, the words of that verse, particularly last week. For he longed after you all. We pointed out those words means he was homesick. And he was full of heaviness. Pointed out again, those words mean deeply depressed. He was homesick, deeply depressed, and he was sick in body as well. Three things written about his sickness there in verse 26. Look how it's put, verse 25. I supposed it necessary to send Epaphroditus unto you, for he longed after you all. I supposed it necessary to send Epaphroditus for, or because, he longed after you all. There's the reason. Even though he had been sick in more ways than one, this is the admirable thing about Epaphroditus. As I said last week, when you see a soldier, you feel compelled to salute him. You admire him for his bravery, loyalty to his country. Here's a soldier, Epaphroditus by name. You want to salute him. He was so sick while he was at Rome ministering to Paul, yet he still stayed there. And Paul was forced to send him home. In many ways, he came home as a wounded soldier. He bore the marks of the battle. Homesickness. depression, sickness in body. That's why Paul sent them home. He sent them home as a wounded soldier. Why doesn't it give us goosebumps whenever we read stories about our brave men and women on the battlefield? And even though they're wounded, they fight on. And even when they're wounded, they try and rescue their comrades and their fellow soldiers. They don't run from the battlefield. They fight on. May the Lord bless the memory of Epaphroditus. Because Epaphroditus fought on in the battle. Fought on when he was wounded. And he had to be sent home. He just loved to shake his hand. I know I would. As I studied this man and his ministry, I knew something about him before. Not as much as I know now. If he was alive today, I'd love to go and shake his hand. I'd love to salute him. But one glorious day I will. One day I will be able to shake his hand. Thank him for his loyalty to the cause of Jesus Christ. Thank him for his courage. Thank him for his consecration. Oh, believer, where do we come in light of Epaphroditus? Do we match up to him? Are we as courageous as Epaphroditus? Are we as consecrated to the Lord as Epaphroditus was? Are we ready to fight on, even when we're wounded? And the soldier of Jesus Christ today will sustain many a wound. Let us pray for grace. Believer, let us pray for grace to keep our hand on the staff that bears the blood-stained banner. Let us never lay it down. Let us never run from it. But let us stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Caring not what people think about us. They've had all manner of things said about us in our stand for Jesus Christ. My mother used to say when people teased me and my brothers at school, didn't see much sense in it at the time, but she said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words have never hurt me. And Epaphroditus fought on as a wounded soldier. And when he was coming home, Paul said, receive him with gladness. Welcome your soldier home. Next, these verses. In these verses, I notice the relief. Consider what Paul said about the sickness of Epaphroditus. Verse 27, for indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him. Not on him only, but on me also. Lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. As we said last week, Paul just felt that he couldn't afford to be without Epaphroditus. It would have been adding sorrow to the sorrow he was already experiencing had Epaphroditus died of a sickness. It would have been sorrow upon sorrow. But then Paul says, yet I supposed it necessary to send Epaphroditus unto you. And verse 28, I sent him therefore the more carefully that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. What did Paul mean? He's still speaking about being sorrowful. If Epaphroditus had have died there in Rome, Paul said that would have added sorrow to the sorrow I already have. But I'm sending Epaphroditus unto you. I'm glad to be able to send him unto you. I'm glad that the Lord had mercy on him and raised him up. At least I can send him home alive. I'll still miss him. I'll be sorry to see him go. But at least I know he's alive. And you'll benefit from him. I'll be sorry to see him go. I'll be sorry to see him go. You see, Epaphroditus was such a blessing to Paul. Such a blessing that he was sorry. That he would be sorry to see him return to Philippi. Believer, what a tragedy it would be for us to go through life and not be a blessing to anyone. Not be the means of refreshing somebody. Being a blessing to them. Speaking a word in season that would encourage them and refresh them. That'd be a tragedy. Paul was going to miss Epaphroditus. The work of God would miss Epaphroditus. And wouldn't it be a tragedy, believer, if we were taken away and the work of God didn't even miss us? It's as if we were never there. It's as if we never occupied that place. It's as if we'd never been here. The work of God doesn't even miss us when we're gone. That would be a tragedy. The work of God would miss Epaphroditus. They missed Stephen. The church in Jerusalem missed that young man Stephen. When he died the martyr's death. And we read in Acts 8 and verse 2, and devout men, godly men, spiritual men appreciated the ministry of Stephen. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Church in Philippi missed Epaphroditus. when he went out to deliver the gift. The church missed Epaphroditus when he was ministering to Paul. And when he left Paul missed him. Believer, be honest before God today and look at your life and say, will the work of God miss me when I'm gone? Or will it be as if I was never here? What have I done? What treasure have I laid up in heaven? Epaphroditus, the soldier's homecoming. I want this evening to look at this soldier honored. And I also want to look tonight, God willing, at this soldier hero. For that's what he was. He was a hero of the faith. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord, we come to thee in the Saviour's name. And O Lord, when we stand beside these great men of faith, these soldiers of the Lord's army, O God, I at least feel so small compared to the stature of men like Epaphroditus. Lord, help us in the years it may be. Help us, Lord, in the years that are left to us to do something for thee. Help us, Lord, to redeem the time. Help us, O Lord, to be good soldiers, to endure hardness, and good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Lord, bless this study to our hearts. Give us, Lord, a clearer vision of Epaphroditus as Savior. Because Epaphroditus was what he was because of Jesus Christ. Write thy word upon our hearts.